Well, hello, everybody. We're having such a good time here. Dave prompted this by bringing Connie up, but I'm going to say some things about my wife, but I want her to say some things. So let's see what she has for us right now.
Oh, me? Okay. I was thinking about what Connie said and what is her name?
Corey? Or Christy?
Christy. I'm thinking of this one, but this one. And the scripture I wanted to read is in Psalms 133. And it says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And I agree 100%.
That's what I wanted to say more about the unity.
It's okay. I got you, Connie. When we were at the luncheon yesterday, the guy sat at one table and we were at another table. I didn't hear what they were saying, and we couldn't hear anything they were saying. But when Gary got up here and when he was talking yesterday, he was talking about the same things we were talking about, how all of us came together from the east, the west, the north, the south, and wherever else in between. And God brought us all together here for this purpose. And we're here today in unity. So let's go in the unity of the faith.
So, I wanted to say something. You know, that year in 1976 was a great year. A great year for you guys to get started here. And it was the year I married my wife. And, So, coming up in the summer here, it'll be our 50 years together. And Dave and Connie, what is it, 52 for you guys? 52. We got a bunch of people like that, huh? You don't hear those type of things anymore, do you? And it seems like what God is doing is showing the example to all of us that it can be done. That's the thing. You know, you listen to the world and the world telling you things about what can and cannot be done. They say it's nearly impossible now, Brian. That's what they say. You might make 7 years. You might. You know, is what they say. If you go into it limiting yourself, then you're not going to make it. Does that make sense? You go into it limiting yourself, well, we may make it for 7 years and then we're done. That's not the way God does things, you know. So anyway, and then by 77, we had our first set of twins. By 79, we had our second set of twins. And I asked my wife one time, I said, if we had to do it all over again, would you want to do it that way again? She said, yeah. She said, yeah. You know what? I am so glad God put that thing in women that they'll have babies and then think about having them again. I mean, the Bible talks about that. They forget about that pain. They forget about the travail. And they're ready again to have another child. I think that's great. And you think about what God has done for all of us here. You know, it's such a great thing. I see all of these faces here, but I also see a lot of the next generation, Gary, of believers that are going to come forth. Are you seeing it? You talked about unity, Connie. What about the things that we're seeing in our young people? And we have to encourage them now because there's so much stuff that can draw them one way or another. This is the time to start encouraging them and bringing them and making the effort for them to be here. Isn't that great? And so, Christy, you believe in that, don't you? You bring Easton with you, you know, you start doing it. He's been up in the meetings with the pastors. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. You want to do that. I remember I was joking with Dan about having grandchildren when he didn't have any. I don't have to joke with him no more. He's gotten the experience. Now, he is a granddaddy, and he speaks that kid language. I hear him when he's over at our house, you know, he calls him up, and he speaks that kid language, and they miss Papa, and he misses them. That's a great thing, isn't it? So I love it. I love all of that. I wanted to talk to you today about, I'm going to tell you something. Dave hit on a couple of things that I had in my mind to say, but you know what? It made me feel good because that means the unity of the Spirit is working, that these things are coming forth because God wants them to be heard, Dave. It's as simple as that. And so I wanted to read something to you. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I started thinking about, and I want you to bear with me because there's some place I want to get to here while I'm talking. But I'm going to start off talking about this presbytery and about our eldership. You know, I always think of it as the seven. I know Rick is not physically here right now, but I always think of it as seven because I don't see him as being really gone. You know why? I had a dream about him, and he was helping me to clean out my house, clean out some things I needed out of my house. And he was very strong and very sober-minded about that, Gary, very single-minded. And we were throwing stuff out that didn't need to be there. So, and that was just like maybe a year ago, you know. So very much with us, very much with us. And I remember when we had the thing there, he told me all the time, said, Kenny, you're my best friend. You're my best friend. Yeah, and so I was his best friend. And all the other elders were the best friend too, because he told them all the same thing. But you know what? He was the best friend to us. He was a father to us. He brought us all forth. I remember when he preached that message, you know, that he had a need. Remember, Gary?
Oh, yeah.
And look what came out of that. Tim, you remember that. Look what came out of it. Look what God has done since then. Look at how many people are in deaconship. Look at the elders. Look how the churches are growing. Maybe having something else established again in Indiana. That's going to be great if that comes to pass. All of those things is God moving among us. We're being unified in such a way that there's going to be a producing of more. And I think that's a great thing. Now, what I wanted to tell you is there are a lot of things that try to interfere with us coming together and doing the things that we're doing. And sometimes even weather. But we continue on, don't we? We press. If we have to put the hours in and the time and have things canceled and whatever, we stick around and we try to continue on. Because you know what we are seeing? We're seeing something greater beyond that. We're seeing the fellowship. We're seeing what God is going to do by His Spirit. And we're anxious to get there to see God do it, Gary. We want Him to do it. This unity is the thing that we're so much ingrained in right now, trying to bring everything together. And in some cases, we have to do better. I'm speaking about myself. But I was thinking about this eldership and the things that it's doing. In 4:1, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Wow. That's a statement within itself, isn't it? Stewards of the mysteries of God. But this Corinthian church is a great example for us in a lot of different things, okay? Paul established this church, preached it out, did everything that he did, Holy Ghost performing demonstration, doing all these things to bring the church forth. But we read in this thing here, and that's why I want you to hang with me here because I want to get to a point. We read in this thing here that it's, Paul starts off saying, well, as good stewards, which they were, Paul knew that he was. He knew that the people that worked with him were good stewards of the gospel and of the things that were going to be done. But there were people in the church that allowed other thoughts to come in that caused a problem. But you know what Paul did? He directed himself at those problems. And the gifts were at work because he discerned them. He would write letters telling them what their thoughts were and how they were thinking and how these things were coming forth and that he was very aware of them, very aware of them. Didn't take him by surprise. So it said, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." I'm going to say something here that Dave said too. Guys, trust this ministry. Trust these elders. Trust this presbytery. Because if there's a thought that comes in that you don't trust, that you don't want to follow, that you want to be disobedient, we know that's the adversary actually being scared because of the unity that we are bringing forth. He doesn't want you to follow. He doesn't want you to follow the word or any of that. Some of you have had thoughts that come in and say, I don't know if I want to do this or do that. Hey, I'm glad we pressed and made it here for the conference. It was a good thing. I had a very bumpy ride getting here, but I'm going to have a nicer ride going home, I think. But the thing was, all I thought about the whole time is I hope it doesn't stop me from getting here. I hope I get here. I want to be here because there's a press Is it in you too? Do you feel that press that you had to be here? And don't judge things from the outward part, like, you know, well, I expected this to happen. Leave it up to God. God's working in the heart. He's working in the mind. And so it says, let a man so account of us. Let us make the eldership and the presbytery precious in our hearts and minds. I know it's hard for some people to trust because they look at people as a man or a woman, because we have women in our ministry. So they just look at them as what they are, Brian, instead of looking at what's in them and what God is doing by them, okay? So, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Don't we have a faithful eldership? What would you say? Do we have a faithful eldership? Do we have a faithful presbytery to give us the word and the things that we need? And they're not afraid to come straight to you and talk to you. If they need to reprove you, they reprove. They need to correct you, they correct you. But here's the thing I've noticed through all of that. They do it in love. Oh, it may be that it's very direct. They may be looking at you in your eyeballs when they're telling you that. But at the same time, you know that the root thing that's causing all of that to come forth is love. And I've felt that. I felt that in me. I felt it in others that they directed things toward. And I've seen them heal people by the love that they've shown and the directness that they told them things so that they could overcome and healing took place. Isn't that a great thing? It's great. So don't be afraid of this ministry. Don't be afraid to communicate with them. Don't be afraid of this presbytery, because they're doing great things. They're continuing to do the things that Jesus started, and we're going to continue to do that until we're not here anymore. We're going to continue to work. I told the church not too long ago, I said, man, if I'm in a wheelchair, you're going to have to wheel me in and help me preach at the front of the church, because that's my mindset. You know, I want to be here. I want to continue to do. And when I can't do, then I'm going to still try something. But that's just the way it works. The reason I'm talking that way, because I'm kind of up in age, you know. And one of the things is I asked the Lord to give me kind of a spirit and a body of Caleb, you know, because he was, what, 85, Brian, I think, when he asked Joshua to fulfill that thing that Moses had promised him about taking over that land. And you know, guys, there were giants in that land, fenced cities. He's 85 years old. He takes his family, they conquer it all. And he gets it. He takes what's been given to him. In other words, it wasn't given to him where there wasn't any effort that had to be put out. He had to go to war. But when he did, he said, I have the same strength I had when I spied out the land, when Moses sent me to spy out the land. That same spirit is in me. And he was 85. I want that to happen to me. I would like for that to happen to me. Wouldn't that be cool? Have the same spirit, have the same strength to be able to do the things for God that God wants us to do. So he found out that this church was kind of judging him a little bit, this Corinthian church. And Paul, you know, he's pretty plain spoken. So I could care less what your I'm paraphrasing now. I can care less what your judgment is of me, because I'm going to do the will of the Lord anyway. That's my paraphrase. And they were judging him. And the thing that's so funny about all of this is that he tells them, well, don't judge anything before the time. God's going to reveal the things that need to be revealed. And if we happen not to be doing what God wants us to do, God will reveal even that. But he knew he was doing the will of God. He knew he was going forth and doing it all. And so he makes a statement in verse 6. He says, "In these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, for their sakes." In other words, the things he had from God, he transferred to Apollos. Let me tell you who else he transferred it to. He transferred it to his son in the gospel, Timothy, too, because he sent Timothy later to this church. And he said, this is my son in the gospel. I've been a father to him. And the things that I've taught him, he can teach you. But he said he transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. So what was already going on, Don? Were they being puffed up one against another? Why would he speak it if things weren't starting to enter in like that? Don't do that, he's saying. He talks about being puffed up again a little bit later. That's what I want to get to. But he said, you're even getting puffed up one against another. Wait a minute, I preached this church out. God did marvelous things through the Holy Ghost to bring you forth. And now you're at the place where you're being puffed up one against another. And then he talks about, he says, and some of you think that you're kings and whatever and that we're beneath you. He makes that statement. He says, you think you know everything now. I guess who delivered that word to you? It was me. But now you think you know more than I do? You think you know more than the people that I'm sending to you? What is going on? Where are those thoughts coming from? And you say, well, how does that apply to what we're doing here? We're talking about unity, aren't we? We're talking about keeping the commandments. We're talking about the traditions that were established by the apostles. We're talking about the commandments that were given by the apostles so that the church can stay unified and keep on moving and knock everything out of the way the adversary tries to put in front of us. And that's how we're going to do it, is through that unification. Isn't that true? So when these things start popping up, you hit them. Isn't that what happens? And God is giving the discernment to these men, to this presbytery, to be able to address the things that they see coming in the church. They have discernment. They have that word of wisdom, that spirit of wisdom and of knowledge. There's healings. There's all kinds of miracles taking place. People say, I don't see it. Yeah. You keep living. You keep sticking around here, and you're going to see some of the gifting coming forth from these men. And God is going to do some great things through that. But it's already working. Is there discernment working among us, you think? Great things. I've had some things discerned in me. It was a blessing, Brian. It was a blessing. Not a hindrance, but a blessing. So these things working up. And he says, for who maketh thee to differ one from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Where'd they get it from? They got it from Paul, didn't they? They got it from these other men that he sent. So why do you glory as if you didn't receive it that way? So here's where that knowledge comes in. Here's where those things come where I know it myself, see? And I'm going my own way. That's not what God wants us to do. He's shown me that. You can't go your own way. You can't go by your own knowledge and things. I would to God that you did reign, because they said you're reigning as kings. They're letting him know we feel like we're reigning as kings, right? He said, I wish to God that you were, but really you aren't. I still have some things I got to work out in you. But you feel like you're reigning as kings, Gary. That's how they were putting themselves forth. Well, how did Paul know all of this? You think maybe he's discerning all of this and what's going on in the church? And he said, I wish to God that you did reign, and we also might reign with you. Let's do it together in unity. Isn't that what he would like to see? Let's do it together. Let's reign as kings together, as God says to reign as kings. See, that's what he wants to do. But this is not what's going on here. And then he tells them a testimony about the things that him as an apostle and some of the other workers have gone through. And listen to this. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ, because they think they're wiser. You are wise in Christ. We are weak. They think they're weak, huh? But ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Look at how he's mocking them in this. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. What an example. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this to this day. He said, I didn't write these things to shame you. I'm warning you that you're going to have to go through these things. The same things that we're experiencing in you, you're going to have to go through them. I warn you about them. Isn't this powerful? So, but as my beloved sons, I warn you, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, I love this scripture. Yet ye have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. You were begotten by Christ through that gospel that we preached unto you. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, he says. Must have been some good ways, huh, Ernest? My ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. He said, I do this everywhere I go. This is what I do. I preach Christ. Christ is in me. In fact, one church told him, we treat you as if you are Christ. Didn't they tell him that? And one place he said, another one, he said, you would have given me your eyes. He mentions that, huh? He does things in such a way that God is blessing in everything that he's put himself in. But verse 18 says, now some are puffed up as though, here's that puffing again. Here's that arrogance, this pride rising up in the church again, right? So why is he warning them? Do you think maybe we need to be warned sometimes too about the same things? Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, not just in talking about it, not just in the word alone, Dave. But that is not in word, but in power. Well, what power are we talking about? It's the power of the Holy Ghost. We know that, huh? But what power are we talking about? I go back to what Gary mentioned last night. In that fifth chapter of Revelation, wasn't the heavens were searched, earth was searched, under the earth was searched for someone that would be able to loose those seven seals, right? And then as John is looking there, he sees this lamb as it has been slain sitting in the throne where God is, right? And of course it's alive still as it has been slain, but it's doing what it's going to do because it takes the book out of the hand of him sitting on the throne, out of the right hand of him, doesn't it? And John was weeping because no one could have been found to be able to open those seals. Now here's what I like. And an elder says, weep not. Weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, woo, has prevailed to open this book and loose those seals. And the four beasts were around there, you know. Angels are flying all over the place. The elders are there, whatever. And he talks about, do you think maybe there's some power going on? The Lion and the Lamb, both power, showing the power and authority that they have. And guess what? That power God is giving to those that follow God. And that following that leadership. And I believe that God is doing that for all of us. So what power to stop this puffing up? What power? Paul says later, he says, how would you like me to come to you? What will you? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love? I think I was talking to Megan a little while ago. He wants to come in love, huh? But he said, if I have to come with a rod, I will. Does that make sense? If I have to come with a rod, I will. But he said, I'd rather come in love. So I'm writing this to you so you can start what? Doing some self-examination, getting yourself together, right? Because God has put me in a place that we're going to keep these churches doing what they're supposed to do. And look at us right here. Are we not doing what we're supposed to do? Are we not here in unity? Are we not fellowshipping one with another? Are we not learning one another and learning this word in such a way that God says, man, I'm going to bless my church? That last Sunday, we watched the blessing that went forth from 76 all the way up to right now. What a blessing. And because of the faithfulness of the people and because of the leadership that was going through at that time. I miss my friend because he used to teach me so many different things. But was he a father unto us? You don't have many fathers, but yeah, I tell you, we're developing others, aren't we? There are others that are here that are doing the same great work. And I admonish you to pay attention to them and to love the commandments that they give you and love the things that they say. You know why? Because we're going to do some great things as a church. As a church. Things that we thought we'd never see, we're going to see. Things that we thought we'd never do, we're going to do. And that's only because God loves us so much. He loves us so much, he's going to bring it forth. And he's going to bring it forth with this eldership and with this presbytery, which I can't stress enough, trust it. Trust it. The things that are said and things that are done are all being led by God. Does that make sense? Being led by God. And this is the thing. They said they're going to be good stewards, right? That's what it said. Paul said from the beginning. He knew he was a good steward. Well, I know by witness that these men are good stewards. I've seen it. I've been the recipient of it. A good steward knows how to do what God says to do. He's a good servant. And what did Jesus say that he was going to do? He came not to be served, but to be a what? A servant. Wow. Servant, huh? Even from the beginning, he says, Father, thou hast prepared me a body. I come to do thy will, O Lord. It's written of me in the volume of the book. He wants to do the will of the Father in all things. Whatever the Father says to do, I'm going to do. Whatever he speaks, I want to speak. Wherever I go, I want to go where he sends me. That's the whole thing. Greatest example of a servant that there was. Guess what? We have great examples among us too. And I appreciate what God has done for us, how he's raised up those that lead us and take us to where we need to go. What a wonderful thing that God has done. Do we have the numbers as of some people here? I was passing some churches as we were coming here. Huge edifices, Brian, filled with lots of people. And then I thought about us. And I said, look at what God has done. Look at what God has done. Because there are true worshipers. Doesn't it say that? The Father seeketh such to worship him, huh? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I believe that's what God is doing with all of Living Fellowship. Can you feel it? Can you feel us being coming together into a one? Can you feel that all of this gathering is for the purpose of God? And that God is going to show us to be peculiar people, already has, but what's going to happen is that there's going to be some great things that come out of that, and I'm looking forward to it. Am I excited about what God's going to do with all of us? Yes, because there's still more to go. We, in our ministry meetings, are learning so much, but God is going to do some great things. And people say, well, people always say God's gonna. Well, we're starting to see God doing it, and that's the thing that's important. So the grace of God is working among us, isn't it? I believe it is. I believe the grace of God is working full tilt among us. And all we have to do is partake of that grace, and God's going to show us his power and how he does things. And guess what? We'll partake of that power, and God's going to be blessing us all the way. But you know what? Last thing I'm going to talk about. We have to remain humble at his feet, don't we? Without the humility, it's not going to work. What is that scripture? I think it's in Proverbs. It says you have to have humility before honor, I think is what it says. Isn't it, Brian? You have to have humility before honor, and God has to do that. He has to help you with that. Sometimes we think we have it, and we don't have it. But what God wants to do is to show us what the real is so that we can have it and be humble at his feet and accept the things that God is doing with us. And believe in them and know that we can do nothing of ourselves. Was this, is it the 15th chapter where it says, without me you can do nothing? Is it 15 of John? And but without me you can do nothing. I like reading that from time to time. You know why? Because sometimes our thought may creep in that you can do something. But no, I can't do anything without Christ. It's all about him. It's all about what he does. It's all about how I yield myself to him. And, you know, in humbleness of spirit, God will do what he said he's going to do. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God's going to do what he said he was going to do? We're going to believe that, huh? And that's what we ought to believe. And we need to believe it more as we go along. Great stuff. That's all I have, guys. I just wanted to encourage you, exhort you. We're going to have some great preaching that's going to take place in the next, you know, tonight and tomorrow. And I believe God's going to do some great things for us even there. I believe God is in our midst and working with us. He's in the midst. And if you don't feel him yet, hang around a little bit. You are. You will. He's in the midst doing great work. All we have to do is yield to it and believe it, huh? Good stuff. Thank you, guys.